Once again, as a way to recap what we have been looking at over the past several weeks, we've looked at some powerful and bold statements made by Jesus Christ, describing himself. He describes his nature. He describes his mission, his character, and he makes these statements as a way to communicate to you and to me what he will be for us. We humans have so many needs. We have so many deeply embedded desires and needs, and Jesus aims to speak directly to us, to let us know that he will be what we need him to be, to get through life on this earth. So throughout the Gospel of John, we've been looking primarily in the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks emphatically, I am, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is divine, fully God, fully human, and is able to meet all of our needs. I am the light of the world. He is able to rescue us out of the darkest pits and bring us into his marvelous light. I am the bread of life. He is here to nourish us and feed us. I am the good shepherd. He is here to lead us and care for us and protect us. I am the gate or the door. He is the perfect entryway to a life of salvation and to the abundant life. And so this morning, we want to continue in hearing Jesus speak these words emphatically. Today, we look at him stating, in the face of death, that I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I invite you to turn with me if you have your Bibles and you want to read in your own Bibles, or you can read on the screen as this passage is shown. John chapter 11, starting at verse number 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Have you ever experienced disappointment? You expect someone to do something for you, to get something done for you, and they don't deliver. You might have asked me to do some things. I'm talking about you asking Dion to do something. If you don't know about that, my wife Shirley knows about that. She can give you testimony of asking her husband, me, to do something for her, and I just don't get it done. Or I don't get it done in the time that she needed it done. You see, I'm a professional procrastinator, and it causes disappointment. But what about other disappointments? I'm talking about deep, deep, deep-seated disappointment, like an unfaithful spouse. like a child that just won't do what you tell them to do. Like a politician that promises something great only to let you down through a moral shortcoming. And what about the church? The church is supposed to be a hospital, a place for healing, but they let you down over and over. What about God? You've prayed and prayed and prayed for God to fix it. You fasted, you've prayed some more, but it's still broken. The marriage is still broken. Your heart is still broken. Your world is still shattered. Disappointment. Now, I'm talking about the kind of disappointment that leads to sadness and tears and crying. Have you ever experienced that type of sadness? I'm talking about the end of Toy Story 3 sadness. For those of you who are older, I'm talking about the end of Old Yeller sadness. I'm talking about the little kid dying of cancer sadness. I'm talking about the stuff that just causes you to wail and to weep. You know, most of us know this sadness, for we have experienced common sadnesses that is associated with the death of a loved one. It's this disappointment and sadness that is present in today's text. It's summarized by Martha, who speaks to Jesus when she sees him. Lord, if you would have only been here, if only you had been here. That is a statement of dashed hopes, lost opportunities, and the epitome of disappointment and sadness. If only the star basketball player was here and not injured, we would have won the championship. If only the rock star doctor was on call during this health emergency, this emergency wouldn't have ended in death or tragedy. If only God would have done something earlier to prevent my child from experimenting with drugs, I wouldn't have to deal with a drug-addicted child. Jesus, if only you had been here. We're not crying and sobbing and grieving. If you would have been here while he was sick, while he was still alive. You see, prior to this text, and prior to Jesus arriving and meeting with Martha, Mary and Martha, the sisters of this guy by the name of Lazarus, they sent word to Jesus by a messenger. In the beginning of the chapter 11, we learned that Lazarus, his family, sent these messengers to Jesus. Verse number 3, chapter 11. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. This line should tell us something about Jesus' relationship with this family. They were close friends. And knowing Jesus, if someone is sick, because they know that Jesus is actually more than friends, he's kind of like family. And we know exactly who to call when we have a problem, when someone in our family is sick. We know who to call on because we know Jesus. It begs the question, church, how well do we know Jesus? This is the reason why we're exploring these I am statements, so that we can come to a better knowledge of Jesus, so that we will come to know Jesus more and more. Because if we know him more and more, when we get into more and more deep troubles or issues, we know who to call on because we know Jesus. Mary and Martha know Jesus, and they call Jesus because their brother Lazarus is sick. We need to know who Jesus is, or what he is, and what he can do. When we know him intimately, we come to know there is nothing he cannot do. For whatever reason, this was a different situation. It was a dire situation, and they needed Jesus to come immediately. They needed Jesus to drop everything he was doing and to come immediately. So Jesus tells the messenger, this illness, this is John chapter 11, verse 4, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And because Jesus loved them so much, he promptly packed his bags and left with the messenger. It was imperative that he left immediately, because if you consult a map of the region at the time, you will learn that it was a two-day journey on foot to the town where Lazarus died. But strangely, that's not how the story goes. You see, as the story goes, Jesus didn't leave promptly and immediately. He actually stayed where he was for a couple more days. You see, Christy, Jesus procrastinated too. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. You not buying it? Okay. Jesus, before he took a step to Bethany, the city of Bethany, knew that Lazarus was dead. Verse number 14 in John chapter 11 says, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now, I don't have a lot of time to do math and geography, but trust me when I say this. When Jesus arrived at the home of Lazarus, they told him that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. It takes 2 days to get to Bethany from the location where Jesus was located and his disciples, where they were. That means when the messenger first got to Jesus to tell him of Lazarus' sickness, it is likely that Lazarus was already dead. And even though he was dead, and Jesus knew he was dead, Jesus told the messenger, take this message back to the sisters. This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus was up to something. Perhaps this was a moment to show the disciples the depths and the lengths of his power. They knew that he was powerful. They knew that he was special. They had already witnessed him turn water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. They had witnessed him heal the son of a royal official. They saw him heal a paralyzed man by a poolside. They experienced him feeding 5,000 people with a few pieces of bread and a couple fish. They saw Jesus walk on water. All of these events were ginormous in terms of impact, but there was still one giant feat yet to come. This event would bring glory to God. This event would erase all doubts about who Jesus was. And so, Jesus arrives at the village to show up and show out. He's about to woo the crowd like never before. But when he arrives, he is not greeted with fanfare and a confidence that all things will be all right. He was not greeted with banners of, this will not end in death. He was met with, oh, if you had only been here, our brother would still be alive. Jesus is met by Martha, and he assures her that Lazarus will rise. And Martha, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, expresses her faith that, yes, indeed, at the appointed time, Lazarus will rise again. But right now, Martha says, he's just dead. To which Jesus makes this claim: I am the resurrection and the life. You can read the rest of the story, and there are some important features contained in this story. As Jesus draws near to the community that has gathered to mourn Lazarus, he is met with more crying and sobbing. Listen to what it says in John chapter 11, verse number 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. He was greatly disturbed. In the Message translation, verse number 33 reads this way. It says, a deep anger welled up within him. Yes, the word that is translated as greatly disturbed in many of your translations, it literally means he was really angry and agitated and annoyed. One author comments that this word is used to describe the snorting of a horse in a battle. It's a word that accompanies a stern rebuke. This was not a word to communicate compassion. Jesus was angry and annoyed. But why? Maybe he was angry because he didn't expect his friends to be so sad. He thought they would have believed his words that this was not going to end in death. Maybe he was angry because he waited too long. He could have gone immediately. Lazarus was already dead. Maybe he could have mitigated some of the sadness and disappointment. Maybe he came to a realization in this moment that living on this earth involves living life that will be full of disappointments and miscalculations and troubles and death. And this will plague men and women. Perhaps he was so angry because he was about to bring Lazarus back to life, to live a life of misery. Hear this today, church. Some of the same things that make us angry angers Jesus. Jesus is angered when he sees parents grieving the loss of a child. He's angry when he sees a husband or a wife when they cheat on their spouse. Jesus is angered when that man or woman shoots heroin in their veins. Jesus is angered when he sees people all over the world dying of starvation and from disease. In this episode, in this life of Jesus, he was so angry, agitated, and annoyed. John chapter 11, verse 35 says, Jesus wept. But praise God that Jesus followed through with what he came to do. Hear all the words of Jesus, just taking the words of Jesus from the final verses of John chapter 11. Take away the stone. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, he did come out. His hands and feet were bound with strips of cloths, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to all of them, unbind him and let him go. The resurrection and the life called the dead to come to life. This is another of our confessions that not only has Christ been raised from the dead, he has the power to raise men and women to life. He has the power to resurrect things. He has the power to alter endings and make them better than we expected. As Jesus approached the town, they expected a eulogy. They expected Jesus to preach a funeral, but they got a better ending. Lazarus is alive. Somebody said, no matter how bad things get, there is always hope for a better ending. Look, that quote is on the screen there. I want you to just say that with me. Say that with me. No matter how bad things get, there is always hope for a better ending. I am, Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. That is what Jesus says to all of us and to every situation that we have, all the situations that we have pronounced, it's dead. It's gone. If only you had been here, Jesus. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. What is the life that Jesus gives in the face of death? A better ending. Let's watch this dramatic rendition of Martha, the sister, as she reflects on the resurrection and the life. Let's take a watch.
Oh, sure. Everyone's still talking about Jesus raising my brother from the dead. And don't get me wrong, I am elated that he's back. It's an astonishing miracle, really. But for me, I remember the story a bit differently. I sent word to Jesus that the one whom he loved, Lazarus, his friend, was dying. No doubt in my mind that he would come save his friend. But then the day turned to night, and I watched my brother slip away, one ragged breath at a time. The one who healed complete strangers left his friends to deal with the worst heartbreak imaginable. Alone. Well, we all know how the story ends. My dead brother came back to life because Jesus told him to. As sure as I'm standing here, it exposed some flaws in my faith. I thought he abandoned us. I thought he should have been there, and he was nowhere to be found. It felt like an eternity. We had no hope that there could ever be a different ending. I mean, how could we? Shortly after that, we saw him nailed to a cross, struggling with the worst kind of abandonment. I mean, the Son of God, turns out, was abandoned by his Father. And nearly everyone else in his life, too. My brother Lazarus died. Jesus let us wait for a little bit because he wanted to show us that no matter how bad things get, there's always hope for a different ending.
No matter how bad things get, there is always hope for a better ending. What did Jesus really expect from Lazarus' family? Did he expect them to know that Lazarus would come back to life? I don't know. I think it's reasonable that what Jesus expected was belief. Listen to Jesus' question after saying, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11:26. "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" Yeah, that's the question for us this morning. Do we believe that Jesus is life and that Jesus is the one who can make for a better ending? I know that many of us have situations and issues in our life that we have deemed dead. And even in those dead situations, even in the face of that death, Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. As long as you believe in me, as long as you trust in me, there is hope for a better ending." It may not be the ending that we have written, it may not be the ending that we want, it may not be the ending that we have prescribed for ourselves. But nonetheless, there is hope for a better ending. That's the Jesus that I'm preaching to you this morning. He wants to come into your life and give you a hope for a better ending. He wants to walk with you in the face of death. He wants you to know that he's angry too. He wants you to know that he doesn't like what's going on too. He wants to walk right alongside you and declare to you that he is the resurrection and the life. And he wants you to believe in him. Yeah, I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus cried, it's because he knew that life was going to be tough for his followers. And he knew that it was going to be tough for them to believe in him. Today, the invitation is really quite simple. It's a call for us to believe. It's a call for us to put our faith and our trust in him. It's a call for us during this pandemic, during social distancing, during unrest and distrust and confusion about where to go, how to go, what mask to wear, how to wear the mask, what cleaners to use. This is the ultimate opportunity for us. This is the most important time ever for us to believe in the resurrection and the life. However you imagine this pandemic ending, I'm saying that belief in Jesus gives us hope for a better ending. And so right now, as I've done previous weeks, I want to invite you into a time of a prayerful reflection on the flash, the words that Jesus spoke in the town of Bethany to Mary and Martha and the crowd, that I am the resurrection and the life. And I want you to consider the things that are dead in your life, the issues, the people, the circumstances. I want you to consider those things, and I want you to hear him say these words to you: "I am the resurrection and the life. And because I am the resurrection and the life, you can have hope for a better ending." Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, you know us better than anyone. You even know the feeling feeling left or forsaken, because when you were on the cross, there was a moment where you felt as if your Father had abandoned you. And you spoke and cried out those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those words are very similar to the words that Martha spoke when she said, if only you had been here, my brother would still be alive. And there are so many of us right now, in various points in our life, we've had that feeling. We've had that if only feeling. Jesus, as you spoke to Martha so boldly and so emphatically, I pray that you would speak it to our hearts right now. That you are the resurrection and the life. That because you are the resurrection and the life, there is hope for a better ending. God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to understand what the better ending is. But I believe that there's a better ending to come. Father, help us to put our faith, our trust, and our belief in you. Father, may we reduce the instances of doubt, knowing that not only was Jesus raised from the grave, but that Jesus had the power to raise others from the grave, and that in him is resurrection and life. Thank you for being I am. Being what we need for you to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.